precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, a sure foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, he that believeth shall not make haste.
This is the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed, coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA, reaching the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, the Jews, with the good news of their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking out against anti-Semitism while promoting love for Israel, God's ancient people, the apple of his eye. Believing in what the Holy Scriptures say in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee. Preaching from God's holy word, the King James Bible. The prophetic truths of the second coming of our Lord. Blowing the trumpet in Zion and warning God's people and the nations about the judgment to come. Exposing apostasy and the developing one world antichrist system. Stay tuned for this hour with the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. This is News and Analysis with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. Well, how about it, folks? Are we facing a crisis in this world? I'll tell you one thing. It's so good to know that the Messiah is the answer for both the Jews and the Gentiles. I am so thankful that those who know him personally do not have to fear, for the Bible tells us, if God be for us, who can be against us? And the obvious answer to that is nobody. Terrorists, Bin Laden, anything is not even a problem if we trust God and fear him, as the Bible tells us we ought to. But the Messiah has come, and he came 2,000 years ago, and he has ever since desired to draw all men to himself, both the Jews and the Gentiles. Well, I'm going to read some news items here, and I'm going to make some comments along the way, and then we will get into the Tabernacle series as we continue that great series. Here's an article that I like to read, and this is an amazing thing, but when this thing came up, now some of the news items are going to be old, some of them will be fresh, but as I've always said in this program, Hope Israel Baptist Broadcast, that these new items, news items are relevant throughout the year, because the same problem exists from month to month. This I cut out three pictures of letters that were sent to the post office, of which, of course, people already know about that. And one letter was sent to New York Post. Another letter was sent to NBC, and another letter was sent to a senator's office. And then, since then, letters have been sent to other places. But each letter is very similar. For example, the letter to the New York Post which was dated September the 11th. Interesting that they dated it that. This was already a premeditated thing. But the letter goes like this. This is next. Take penicillin now. Death to America. Death to Israel. Allah is great. The same letter is written to NBC. And then there, the letter to Tom Daschle's office, it's a little bit different, but basically the same. It says, you cannot stop us. We have this anthrax. You die now. Are you afraid? Death to America. Death to Israel. Allah is great. Now, folks, these people are out of their minds because the Bible tells us that if God be for us, who can be against us? As long as America is on the side of Israel, America need not to be afraid. For the Bible even tells us, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in the Lord. And as you notice the connection of these letters, the connection is always America with Israel, or Israel with the United States of America. And that just goes to prove that we have had a relationship with Israel, really from the inception of our own country. I mean, we've had a relationship with the Jews ever since the United States became a country. And that's because this has been basically, historically, a Bible-believing country. And although there is a departure in many corners of our country, nevertheless, the foundation of this country was based on Bible principles. And one of those Bible principles is to love Israel, to love the Jews. And so you're not going to be able to separate America from Israel, because as long as we stick by the Bible principles of supporting Israel, we will always be associated with Israel. And that's really a smart thing to do anyway, because the Bible says in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee. I want to do that, folks. I want to be guilty of cursing Israel, because the Bible promises that God will curse them that curse Israel. Now, an article that I have here titled Bin Laden as Ultimate Hero. The vast majority of the Palestinians opposes the American airstrikes against Afghanistan, while one in four believes terrorism against the U.S. is consistent with Islamic law, according to a poll published last week by Bet Ziet University. According to the poll, the majority of Palestinians also opposes Palestinian Authority Chairman Yasser Arafat's ceasefire order. The poll was conducted among 1,200 respondents between October 4th and October 6th, after the September the 11th attacks in the U.S., but before the strikes on Afghanistan began. It found that 76% of Palestinians oppose any Arab and Palestinian participation in the U.S.-led anti-terror coalition. Again, you know, here we're trying to help the Palestinians. We're trying to make peace, or help them to make peace, when as a people, the Palestinians are totally against us, the United States government, and they are totally against Israel. We're not just dealing with a corrupt government over there. We are dealing with a people who are totally, at least primarily, a majority are against what we're doing. It goes on to say here, 89% believe the U.S. is not justified in attacking Afghanistan, sponsor of prime terrorist suspect Bin Laden, and 92% believe striking at terrorist targets will only lead to more attacks against the U.S. 64% of respondents said the attacks on the U.S. violated Islamic law, while 26% said they were consistent with the teachings of Islam. 57% oppose the latest ceasefire orders from Arafat, and 39% support it. The poll has a 3% margin of error. Well, I don't know. Most of the prime ministers of Israel that have long gone, I mean, they're dead, always have said with one voice, you cannot make peace with terrorists. What are we going to learn, folks? Terrorists, including Arafat and his cronies, are not to be dealt with. They cannot be dealt with. They are beyond reason. They are beyond cooperation. That's because they don't really want peace with Israel. Why don't we wake up? Here is another article. Abu Abbas, retired terrorist. We don't hear much about him. And I'm not even sure he was on the terrorist hit list that the United States government put on there. The 10 most wanted terrorists, or now, of course, has increased. But here's an article from the Jerusalem Post, and the one I just read as well was from the Jerusalem Post. It says, absent from last week's FBI most wanted terrorist list, a grouping of the most prominent perpetrators of terrorism against Americans over the past two decades was Mohammed Abbas, in other words, or also called Abu Abbas, mastermind of the 1985 Achille Lara cruise ship hijacking and the murder of disabled American passenger Leon Klinghoffer. The notable exception illustrates how complex list-making can be when it comes to fighting terrorism. A popular tool with the Bush administration since the September 11th attacks on the U.S. The most wanted list named 22 men, mostly linked to Osama bin Laden's Al-Qaeda network, while Israel welcomed the inclusion of Ahmad Faiz Munaha, head of Hezbollah Special Overseas Operations, and two other Hezbollah-linked terrorists. Their inclusion did not foreshadow a broadening of the list to include those wanted for terrorism against Israeli targets, sources here say. Munaha, along with Ali Atwar and Ahmad Faiz Munahya, you'll have to forgive me for the pronunciation of some of these names. I'm just not expert in it, and I don't even think they deserve respect. But anyway, it says here, were named primarily because of their involvement in 1985 hijacking TWA Flight 847 and the murder of an American passenger, U.S. Navy diver Robert Stethem, for which they all have been indicted. Abbas, head of the Palestine Liberation Front and a member of Palestine National Council, currently resides in the Gaza Strip and travels frequently to Iraq and Jordan. He and his PLF are included in the U.S. State Department's most recent Patterns of Global Terrorism report. In the current political climate, it is not surprising that Abbas was left off the list. With the U.S. campaigning hard to build up its image against Palestinians and quell Palestinian-Israeli violence, officials know that adding someone like Abbas, regarded as a freedom fighter by most Palestinians, would have only worked against those goals. In 1996, he claimed to have embraced the peace process and was allowed by Israel to enter Gaza. More significantly, the U.S. long ago abandoned efforts to extradite Abbas and dropped its warrant for his arrest early on because it did not believe the evidence it had would stand up in court. 3 years ago, the State Department said the U.S. continued to believe Abbas should be punished for his crime, but since there was no charges pending against him and the statute of limitations, which for his crime at the time was 5 years, had long since expired, they saw no grounds for seeking his extradition. Not everyone agreed. A study by the Congressional Research Service done in 1996 at a congressman's request concluded that in Abbas's case, the statute of limitations did not apply since it is suspended when a suspect is a fugitive from justice. Abbas was tried in Absentia in Italy in 1986, found guilty and sentenced to life in prison, but the Italians never pursued him vigorously. His omission this week raises a series of questions for U.S. list makers. Will the U.S. only go after terrorists till perceived as a threat to American interests, or will it seek justice for all Americans who were deliberate victims of terrorism? The PLO settled a court case with the Klinghoffer family Does the U.S. still have an obligation to bring Abbas to justice? Jewish organizations say yes. And by the way, I say yes, too. And justice cries yes. And the Bible cries yes. The Bible says that when someone is killed, murdered, killed, innocent blood being shed, the Bible says, let no man stay him. In other words, the one who's committed the murder. I continue on here where they say whether or not he should be added to the list, he is clearly someone who committed a terrorist act and has never been brought to justice for it. And our position is that he should be, said Stephen Freeman, director of the Anti-Defamation League's Legal Affairs Department, when asked about the Abbas case. Whether that were to happen in Italy or here, where somewhere else is less the issue than that it had happened someplace. And so many of course, the Jewish organizations are in an uproar against this. And I have to say I understand. Now, folks, terrorism is a serious problem. And, of course, now we're at war against it. I say we should have been at war against it years ago. Maybe now we can understand what some of the Israelis have gone through. Maybe we can have compassion. Maybe we can have empathy for them. But now what I'm hearing on the news is we want a Palestinian state. And if anyone has heard the series of messages I preached on to whom does the land of Israel belong, you well know that there is no justification nor legal standing for a Palestinian state. And they are really Jordanians. A Palestinian state, or this idea of Palestine as a state for the Palestinians, was not even on the board of discussion until 1967. This is a made-up thing in order to excuse and exempt countries like Syria and Jordan and Saudi Arabia from their responsibility to take care of their brothers, who are now called Palestinians, but really are Jordanians. They're Arabs. They ought to be taken care of by their own countries that from whence they came out of. And that, of course, is a Bible mandate. Now, if the Israeli government does not understand the necessity to have a country called Israel, according to the biblical borders, which is starts at the Nile River and works its way all the way up to Iraq at the river Euphrates, and even covers Syria, all of Lebanon, and parts of Jordan, if they don't recognize that this is their absolute legal right to possess these lands, well, the least that the Palestinians are to be expected to do is to have peace with Israel. But we know that no matter what they say, and no matter what anybody says, there will be no peace in these last days. Well, that's some of the news items here at the Hope Israel Baptist broadcast. News and analysis. I hope that some of you will seriously consider the truth of what's going on, and don't just take everything you hear at the news media. Make sure you have it backed up with facts. There are always three sides to the story: what they say, what you believe, and the truth. And the truth is that there will be no peace until the King of Glory, the Peace of Jerusalem, will come and reside there in his throne, the Davidic throne. He's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Jewish Messiah for both the Jews and the Gentiles. Now stay tuned as we take a short break, and we're going to get into the Tabernacle series. A great series, a great subject. You don't want to miss it. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA. Now, we invite you to continue to stay with us for another 30 minutes of good broadcasting regarding the Jews and the issues pertaining to the nation of Israel and what the Bible has to say about it. If you're interested in this, we know you'll not be disappointed. If you have a love for the Jewish people, or if you even have questions about their existence, oh my, you need to stay tuned and find out what the Bible says about it. But if you must leave, we sure like you to come back next time. But until then, would you please write us and let us know that you've enjoyed this broadcast, or if you have any questions at all, we'll do our very best to answer you. Now, please write us at the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, PowderSprings, Georgia, or GA, 30127 USA. If you're interested in helping keep this program on the air, please send any gifts to this address, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127 USA. We're also accepting King James Bibles in good condition. This helps us to distribute these Bibles throughout the world. There are thousands, tens of thousands of people that are begging us for Bibles throughout the world. And we do our best to send them Bibles, but they're very expensive. So if you would do what you can to help us keep our supply going, we would be very thankful to you. Now, please continue to stay tuned now to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast. Invite your family, your friends, your business associates, anybody that has an interest in the Jewish question as to whether they should exist or not. Now, the Bible has a lot to answer to that, but if you have a love for the Jew, you know what the answer is already. Yes, indeed. They are God's chosen people, the apple of His eye.
Showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven. There is no God like thee in the earth, O Lord God of Israel.
If you're coming into this broadcast for the first time, we are in progress on a series regarding the tabernacle in the wilderness as inspired of God in the holy oracles, the Bible. It was a real event, and there was really a tabernacle thousands of years ago, and it resembled and was a message of God's desire to meet with His people, and He did meet with them, and there were many hundreds of lessons and many illustrations of His grace, His love, His mercy, and of course, as well, His requirement for a relationship between us and Him. And so we trust that this will be a tremendous blessing for you. When one does study the tabernacle, they come to a conclusion that Jesus Christ really had to be the Messiah after all. And he is. If you're a Jewish person and you're listening for the first time, please let me encourage you to at least listen, and before you make any conclusions, listen to the series, listen to what the Bible has to say, and you may be surprised to learn that Jesus, the Lord Jesus, is not a foreign thing to the Holy Scriptures, the Jewish Holy Scriptures. In fact, over 300 prophecies were prophesied about him. And so I would beg of you to listen and to consider and pray to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to see whether whether this is the truth or not. If it's not the truth, God will reveal it. But I know that it's the truth, for the Bible says his word is truth. And his word, being that it is truth, the truth will make us free, and we will be free indeed if we receive it. So thank you for tuning in to the Hope Israel Baptist broadcast. And we continue now with the series, The Tabernacle in the Wilderness.
I have a picture of the tabernacle where they have a donkey. Most of the time, Israelites were so poor they couldn't even bring a lamb. All they had was a donkey. Now, a donkey's not worth much. And you're saying, man, well, if he only has a donkey, he can't sacrifice that. You need to have a clean animal. It has to be unblemished. Well, isn't this wonderful that the doorkeeper had the lambs, the animals were outside, and he would exchange a lamb for a donkey. Now, a lamb is a lot more expensive than a donkey, right? How many donkeys do you think are worth a lamb? Come on, farmers, you know this stuff. I'm trying to learn about some of this. How many donkeys do you think would be equal to a lamb, a beautiful lamb? Come on, give me an estimate. Two donkeys, three donkeys, four donkeys. I guess you don't have any donkeys, is what you're telling me. Let's assume it's four donkeys to a lamb. Here's a poor sinner. All he has is a donkey. I mean, that's pretty low, isn't it? Come to a donkey for a sacrifice. He knows already in the back of his head he don't have anything worthy to sacrifice. And yet, he brings the donkey. That's all right. God says that his mercy and his grace is sufficient, and he'll exchange a lamb for a donkey. That's just like the way we are when we come to the Lord. We have absolutely nothing to offer him. The Bible says we're a grasshopper. The Bible says we're a worm. And the Bible indicates we are a donkey too. Amen. Before we get saved, we got nothing to offer him. He has everything to offer us. And so, those five offerings, the sin offering, the trespass offering offered by the priest only, the three other offerings have to do with our daily sanctification, our daily service to God, the burnt, the peace, and the meal offerings. Yeah, what I was going to end with was this. I get harassed everywhere I go, and that's fine because I'm used to it now. Somebody has to make somebody laugh, amen? But I get harassed everywhere I go. But it's all right. I enjoy it. And I've had some of my dear preacher friends tell me they have figured out why Jewish people have big noses. They did. And they said the reason why Jews have big noses is because the air that they breathe is free. Amen. They don't have to pay for it. They like a good deal when they see one. But I believe one of the reasons why God gave Jews big noses. Now, I got a fairly good sized nose. Isn't that nice? And some of you look a little bit suspicious there, too. You might be a little Jewish and you don't know it. But the Bible says that the Jews are peculiar people. Amen. They're peculiar people. And I believe that God gave the Jews big noses to remind them of something, that God likes the smell. He's in the smelly business. The Bible says that those three sacrifices went up as a sweet-smelling odor. in the nostrils of God. I think God has a nose. It must be a pretty big nose, amen. All those years you had smelled that sweet smelling savor. And I tell you what, it's nothing like when we praise His name. There that goes up. He smells it. Woo! I like it. That's the way God acts. When we read our Bible like we should. When we praise His name. Amen. When we do the things that are right. There it goes again. That smoke goes up. That incense goes up into the nostrils of God. And He's well pleased. But folks, that's not going to happen unless you have the first two sacrifices, especially the one, the trespass offering. Those other three offerings won't mean nothing to God, because those other three offerings really have to do with a saved life. I wonder how many people have brought their trespass offering to the Lord by faith in Jesus Christ. He is our trespass offering. Now, some of you are smiling. All right. I've been training you well, haven't I? All right. I appreciate the smiles. We have a lot to thank God for, what He's doing and what He's done. And so we'll begin reading there at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 1. The Bible says, "For the Lord, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins." Amen. That's right. It's not possible. "Wherefore, when He cometh into the world, He saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. And then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me." Of course, this is Jesus is talking here, amen? He's talking this way. This is a quotation from the Old Testament. "To do thy will, O God." Above, when He said, "Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, and neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the Lord." And then said He, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." He taketh away the first, that He may establish the second. Heavenly Father, again we come to Thee tonight. We don't deserve to be here. Every one of us tonight, we deserve to be in the hottest hell. But praise ye the Lord. Praise God Almighty for the deliverance, for the salvation that You have given to us who have received Christ as personal Lord and Savior. And according to Thy promise, and according to Thy word, and according to the title deed of our soul, dear God, You have given us eternal life. And dear Lord, because we have eternal life, we have something to look forward to and something to be happy about. No matter what comes our way upon this earth, we have eternity to look forward to spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, Thou hast delivered us from the flames of hell. What a time of rejoicing. What a blessed time of rejoicing. But not only have we been delivered from hell, and that ought to make us happy enough, but to know that we have mansions awaiting us in heaven. Oh God, even icing on the cake. Lord, what a blessing to know we're going to spend eternity with Thee personally. Be able to praise Thy name without ceasing. Dear God, we pray You'll continue to bless us tonight and teach us some things that we can apply to our lives. And dear God, be obedient to Thy word. In Christ's holy and wonderful name, amen. All right, please be seated. Okay, we covered a lot of territory yesterday, and I praise the Lord for that. And Samuel, why don't you come up here and just do anything just for a couple minutes while I get situated. I got to get set up here, all right?
Well, we are in the process here of listening to my son, and
amen.
There
all
we
right.
go.
Praise the Lord. That's a blessing. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Oh, but Lord, I have a hard time with this sin. I just can't. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. But, oh, man, I'm having such a hard time kicking this coffee habit. But thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Oh, but Lord, I like this so much, I can't do without it. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. That's right. The power of the precious word of God. Okay, just kind of quickly review. Oh, I need a watch is what I need. Not unless you want me to preach until midnight tonight. I need someone. I need to borrow someone. Can I borrow you? Brother Marsh, do you have a watch? He don't have a watch. He don't care what time I preach till. All right, now. Okay, thank you, dear brother. All right, man. All right, now. Let me get to synchronize here. All right, praise the Lord. All right, let me just kind of review real quick, all right? Remember, outside, and I call this the outer court. Now, many people call this inside here the outer court, but when I'm thinking about the tabernacle, a lot of times I'm thinking about the temple. But when I think about the outer court, I'm thinking about what's outside here. I call this the inner court. You know, I won't debate over you over it, amen. I won't split church over that, amen. But this is the outer part, and this is the world. And the Bible says that we're supposed to come, we're supposed to abstain from all appearance of evil, amen. And the Bible says, touch not the unclean thing. So we're out here in the world. Now, the thing is, as a born-again Christian, we are not of the world. We live in the world, but the world does not belong to us. This is not our home. Even when we go back to Atlanta, we have a little song that our family sings when we get into the garage there, and that this home is not a permanent home, it's a temporary home. But our permanent home is in heaven. That's our permanent home. We're just pilgrims passing by. Amen? So I wouldn't dig too deep here, and I wouldn't put your roots too deep in here, because our home is in heaven. But that's what we have to contend with. We live out here. We don't live in there. I would like to live in there, but reality is I have to live out here. I have to rub shoulders with the world. Sometimes you got to work with the world. But even so, we still can be a testimony to the world. But this is where I really want to be all the time. I want to be right in here. I want to get into the holy place and then work my way and find out where the glory is. As a Christian, now I'm talking about as a Christian. All right? And so we talked about the hangings, how there's 60 pillars out here. Every pillar has a chapiter, and it's on top. Every pillar is made out of wood, overlaid with brass. In a socket of brass, brass is judgment, silver is redemption, wood is the incorruptibleness of the body of Jesus Christ. We have here the white fine twine linen that's wrapped all around this place. And here we have a picture, really, of the cross. 60 crosses, really, if you look at it, if you cut them off. And that's Jesus Christ hanging on the cross of Calvary and suffering the judgment of God upon him for our sins. And then, of course, it's staked in by those brass stakes and with cords. Every one of them have cords. Speaking about how that we are being drawn with the cords of his love. And that's true. And you know something? If the Lord didn't leave cords down here, no one would ever see God. No one would ever know about God. And that means you're not intelligent enough. You're not smart enough. You cannot be educated enough. There's nothing that you can figure out yourself to figure out where God is. We can't. We don't wake up in the morning and have it all figured out. Except God reveal himself to us, we be in darkness. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. So man naturally does not seek after God. We cannot seek after God. We cannot figure God out. And that's not hyper-Calvinism, folks. That's just reality. We don't have what it takes to figure out where God is. And God has to reveal himself to us. How does he do it?
Well, he does it through the righteousness of the saints. Since Christ is not here upon this earth, we now are ambassadors of Christ. The way they see Christ is by us. We are a burning. John the Baptist said, Jesus said of John the Baptist that he was a burning and a shining light. What do you think about that? I wonder how many of you want to be a burning and a shining light. I want to. I want people to see my life, and I want my life to turn people on to the Lord. Amen? I don't want to turn them to the devil. I want to turn them to the Lord. And that's why we have to live a life that's godly, holy, and a life that is true of a godly testimony. And then I mention here that the gate is wide enough, 30 feet wide, and 7.5 feet tall, wide enough for everybody to get in. And the gate there is the eastern gate. It's the only gate God allows you to get in. You're not going to get in any other way but through the eastern gate. Try as you may, you won't get in. It got to come through the east. We know that's the type of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So, the eastern gate. I mentioned about the four colors. Each color represents one of the four Gospels. Now, we talked about the brazen altar. We talked about how that brazen altar is 5 cubits all around. And by the way, I didn't think I mentioned this yesterday, but that the brazen altar is 3 cubits high. 3 cubits high is approximately 4.5 feet high. That means that a 4.5 foot person, let's see, who's 4.5 feet here? Raise your hand. My son's 4. Okay, stand up, Samuel. Anybody else 4.5 feet? Nobody? Okay. All right, how tall are you? You don't know? I think you're pretty close. Come up here, all right? Come up here now. And how old are you? You're 9 years. You're just a little bit older than my son. Stand right there. All right, he's a little bit taller than my son. All right. Now, what about you? What about you, honey? Just stand up right here. All right? Stand up right here. Are you a little bit taller? How old are you? You're 9. Amazing. All right. That's about as short as we got around here. Amen? Isn't that something? Now, that means that my son's 8 years old, he's almost 8.5 years old. My son can get in, he can get in, and you can get in. It's low enough for that for a person this age to get saved. You believe that? I believe they can get saved. Why, if they couldn't get saved, it wouldn't be 4.5 feet high. Right? It'd be 5, 5.5. But it's 4.5. And I believe God did that. That a little child can get saved. Now, you got to be careful with children, obviously. Okay, you can sit down, kids. I mean, you'll say, don't call my child a kid. I'm sorry, I understand that. All right. But anyway, the thing is that, you know, you got to be careful with children because their understanding of things may not be what we think they are. But still, I'm not going to stop a child if he wants to get saved or she wants to get saved, and God's pricking their heart about sin, and they understand what sin is. Ask my son, he'll tell you what sin is. He knows what a sin is. He's lied already. That's right. He's rebelled against me already. Haven't you? Have you rebelled? Have you lied? Yes, you have. You better say yes, because if you didn't, I'd say you committed your first lie. Now, son, have you lied yet? You know you sinner, you. That's right. But generally speaking, a three-year-old doesn't know that they sin. They don't have any comprehension of sin. Now, they do sin. They sin the moment they come into this world. They're born in iniquity. But they don't quite understand it yet, right? When they start to understand what sin is, then I believe they can be saved. I really do. And if they die before their understanding, it don't matter anyway because they're covered by the blood. I believe that. Sure. Okay. Now, all right, so the brazen altar. I mentioned there about the network of brass. This is a sign of judgment. Again, this brazen altar is made out of wood, shittim wood. It's overlaid with brass. Talks about perfect humanity of Christ. And 100% God at the same time. The slaves were in there. They'd move it at any time. They were prepared to go and to obey God at any moment of time. Now, let me just kind of rehearse some things I want to just mention to you about the brazen altar. When we look at the brazen altar, folks, which I got a picture of it right here. Okay, so most of you can see the brazen altar right there. The brazen altar teaches us several things that you should never forget. Number one, it teaches us that Jesus is the Lamb of God. In fact, the Bible says, where's the lamb for a burnt offering? According to Genesis chapter 22, verse 7. So we know that a lamb was used for a burnt offering. And the Bible says, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. That was Abraham. Amen. Isaac was wondering, where is that lamb? Where is the offering? Abraham was confident. So we see that the burnt offering is a picture of Jesus, the Lamb of God. Amen? And by the way, lambs are not born in hotel rooms. Amen? No, they're not. They're not born. Where are lambs born in? Anybody know? Huh? Farmers. Where are lambs born? Barns? Barns, I guess so, right? Stables, barns, amen? Well, they're not born in hotel rooms. And that's a lamb for you. Now, Jesus is, we see in the burnt altar there, we see Jesus as the lamb. We see Jesus as bound. The Bible says, bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Psalms 118, verse 27. In John chapter 18, verse 24, the Bible says, now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas, the high priest. You see that? So they had to bind that animal with cords and present him over there upon the altar. They did the same thing with Jesus, did they not? They bound him up. Exactly. That's a picture of Jesus being bound. It's a picture of Jesus being lifted up. I think I alluded to that. But in John chapter 12, verse 32, the Bible says, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. In John 3:14, Jesus said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent, we know it was brazen serpent, amen, in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And I told you how they did that, how they stuck those forks in there, and they had to lift them up onto the altar, all right? So that's in fulfillment of the brazen altar, okay? We see Jesus and His power at the brazen altar. And I told you about the four horns. I told you about a horn represents power. And He has power to save the whole world. John chapter 19, verse 10, the Bible says, knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee? That's what Pilate was saying. And have power to release thee? You really think so, Pilate? You think you have power? You have no power. Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. That's right. Listen, nobody forced Jesus to the cross. Nobody made him go to the cross. Jesus went willingly to the cross. He's our vicarious sacrifice. He could have called a legion of angels down to protect him. Amen? But he went willingly. He had the power. It was by God's power. It says, therefore, doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. Amen. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Matthew 28:18. This altar speaks of Jesus' stripes. I mentioned that. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, the Bible says, the chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes are we healed. It speaks about Jesus' cross. And we know how there was a piece of wood underneath that network. Jesus was placed on a beam of wood. The Bible calls it a tree. It calls it a cross. And so it is true. And He, bearing His cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified Him. And be it known, folks, it says they crucified Him, but it goes beyond them crucifying Him. We crucified Him. That's what they did in Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, the Bible says the whole congregation took that lamb, and the whole congregation killed that lamb. Everybody's guilty of killing the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't just blame it on the Jews. That's what they say. Ah, the Jews killed Jesus. Oh, yeah? Well, you killed him too. You're just as guilty. And then they pierced this. Jesus being pierced. I told you about the flesh hooks. And Psalms 22, verse 16, the Bible says, they pierced my hands and my feet. And that's exactly what happened. Zechariah 12:10 says, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. John chapter 19, verse 34 tells us, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out water and blood.
Unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of their hearts, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heavens.
If after hearing this broadcast, God Almighty has convicted your heart of sin, then repent, that is, be willing to confess and forsake your sinfulness and wicked way, while acknowledging your transgressions against the Holy God, with sorrow and a broken heart for being an unworthy sinner, deserving eternal judgment in hell fire. Receive Christ, the Messiah's forgiveness, which was bought for you by His own blood, and call upon Him to be your only Lord, God, and Savior. If you've asked by faith, believing, then God has given you eternal life according to His Word. And now you should know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you are gloriously saved and born again. Please write us and let us know of the good news about your salvation. Let us know if you are Jewish or from some other ethnic group. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is supported by free will offerings. If you would like to help keep this program on the air, please send your free will donation to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. The Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast is responsible for sending out thousands of Bibles and biblical literature free of charge throughout the world. If you are a Jewish person and would like to receive a free Hebrew English New Covenant, also known as the New Testament, please request a copy. Other languages may also be available. We will also send you a free copy of our very popular booklet, Prophecy Unveiled. Again, if you are Jewish, please be encouraged to ask for this terrific booklet. This booklet is about Jewish prophecy. It has intrigued readers for thousands of years and is now at your fingertips. What do rabbis of old, historians, and religious commentators have to say about the subject? See for yourself and answer the age-old question. Is prophecy unveiled? If you are not Jewish and desire to receive a Bible in English, please write to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. That's Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, or POWDERSPRINGS, Georgia, or GA, 30127, USA. You are invited to visit our website at hopeofisrael.net. Again, our website address is hopeofisrael.net. or HOPEOFISRAEL.net. Please email or write us letting us know you're listening to our broadcast. This will be a great encouragement to us and will help us to know where the broadcast is being received around the world. Donations and King James Bibles are being accepted, enabling us to distribute Bibles and gospel literature worldwide. Please send only King James Bibles in good condition. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, wishing you God's richest blessings upon your life. And my earnest prayer is that you will be drawn closer to the Savior. Please remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Until our next broadcast, tune in again on this day at this same time for the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast.